Well, good morning, everyone. Happy Sabbath. Happy Sabbath? All right, well, it's good to be here. I'd like to welcome each of you to our divine service here in Colton, California. For those of you that are streaming live from Honolulu, Hawaii, I'd like to welcome Aloha. Also, those that are in Colorado and in northern part of California, I'd like to welcome all of you to our service this morning. We have a special, special service today. Amen? You know why? Because you're here. God woke you up this morning. Amen? Amen. Well, I'd like to thank the Lord for His goodness. Amen? His righteousness. And His love for us. I don't think we can fully grasp the enormity of His love for us until we get to heaven. And then through the ceaseless ages of eternity, we will be learning that love and never come to an end. I didn't hear an amen. 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 Well, again, I'd like to welcome all of you to our divine service this morning. I'm going to kneel. I'd like to add another prayer to our study today because I need help. I don't have the wisdom unless God is speaking through me today. So we're going to ask for a double portion of His Holy Spirit that He may give us a clearer revelation of His will. That He will speak through me, and that we may have hearts that will be open so that we can prepare for the final events of this world history. So for those of you that can kneel, let's kneel as we seek the Lord in prayer this morning. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we humbly come before Your throne of grace. We come on bended knees this morning, humbling our hearts, our lives to You. Father, I pray that as we look into Your Word, I pray that You give us clarity of mind, a discernment for spiritual and heavenly things. That what we hear today, we can apply it into our lives so that we can prepare for the times that are coming ahead of us. For we have no eyesaw. We have the eyesaw that's in our eyes. We can't see as Book of Revelation says that we are blind. So this morning, open up our hearts, our eyes, that we may see Your wondrous works, Father. We ask now for Your mighty and holy angels to surround this sanctuary. Don't let the enemy in here today, Lord. Keep us focused on what we're going to study. Keep us faithful this morning. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right, let's turn to our Bibles to John. This is not anything new I'm going to speak on. This is one that you're familiar with. There's nothing new here under the sun. And as you look at the title this morning, it is A New Life. Ye must be born again. Let's look at it. John chapter 3, starting at verse 5. Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot what? He cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be, what? Born again." I'm going to read a statement so that we can set the groundwork of our study this morning. And everything that I'm going to share is right in the tips of your hand, meaning you have these statements in your home. Sometimes we need to pull it out and start reading again. You know, sometimes we read a book and we go, oh, I finished that book. But when you go back and read it again, you pick up things that you missed the first time. Amen? Line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. So this is nothing new. What we're doing is reviewing this morning. But it's going to be profound because we are living in a time now where you are seeing the things that we read about happening. Maranatha, page 70. He who is trying to reach heaven by his own works in keeping the law is attempting an impossibility. Are you trying to keep the law by yourself? It's impossible. She continues, Ellen White continues, page 70 in Maranatha, there is no safety for one who has a merely a legal religion. What is that legal religion? I went to look it up just to make sure I understood what I was reading. Legal religion means resting on your works. Guess what I did? I did this, I did that. It's not based on, it is written. It is resting on works for salvation. That's legal religion. I won't go into that because you've read it in the account of the Desire of Ages on the Pharisees, how they live a legal religion. She continues, there is no safety for one who is merely a legal religion, a form of godliness. Having the form, but what? No power. All right, we're going to study a little bit. Is that okay? Turn with me to 2 Timothy. Let's go there. 2 Timothy. And when you're there, say amen. All right, let's go. I still hear some pages turning. Let's go there. 2 Timothy. Chapter, what did I say? 2 Timothy chapter 3, starting at verse 1. Let's go. This know also that in the last days, perilous times shall come. What does that word perilous mean? Dangerous, hazardous, full of risk. A perilous situation. Verse 2. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affections, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. We don't have time to talk about all these. You know what I'm talking about. Our time doesn't allow us to break those down. But look at verse 4. Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure, more than loving, lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away. Today we're looking at a new life. You must be born again. But we're looking at a time now that is dangerous. I read a statement from Maranatha, Ministry of Healing, page 453, where she says, the Christian life is a battle. Are you battling? Every day? It's a war. As a Christian, it is a war. And if you and I are going to be faithful to God, it's a warfare. She says it right here. The Christian life is a battle and a march. In this warfare, there is no release. So the time you go to bed, to the time when you wake up in the morning, it's going to be warfare. We're going to look at that for just a moment. It is by unceasing endeavor that we maintain the victory over the temptations of Satan. You're not dealing with flesh and blood, my friends. You're dealing with principalities. I'll tell you how it works. Because I'm in warfare. This past week, I was in warfare. A physical warfare. It wasn't even spiritual. I got up last week, and I felt like I was having a heart attack. Dr. Manipul. Pushing on my heart. I said, "What? How can I be? I'm healthy. I ride my bike. I swim. I do everything that I'm supposed to do to stay healthy, and I feel like I'm getting a heart attack." Come to the realization I was contending with spiritual wickedness in high places. We are dealing with the rulers of the darkness of this world. She continues, she says, Satan and his temptations. The Christian integrity must be sought with resistless energy and maintain with a resolute fixedness of purpose. No one will be born upward without stern, persevering efforts in his own behalf. All must engage in this warfare. All must engage in this warfare for themselves. No one else can fight the battles for us. So, my brothers and sisters, this morning, we are in a warfare. It is a battle, and it is a march. You know how effective these temptations can be to you and I? This morning when I was taking my morning shower, all of a sudden a thought came to my mind and I knew it wasn't of God. And I started to dwell on it and I realized I need to cast it down. Casting down imagination, every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God. This is what she's talking about. The Christian life is a battle, a march. And in this warfare, there's no release. Just when you think you're safe, you're not safe. We're living in a perilous time, as Paul says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. Perilous time. The world is a theater. The actors, its inhabitants, are preparing to act their part in the last great drama. We're looking at a new life today. You must be born again. Because if this is true, by the way, this is found in page 4 to 28. She says that if this is the last part of the great drama, with the great masses of mankind, there is no unity. Is there unity in our world today? There's two divisions. Two groups. And I'm going to talk about that two groups. I'm not talking about the sheep and the goats. I'm talking about two groups now in this country. With the great masses of mankind, there is no unity except as man confederate, listen now, to accomplish their selfish purpose. What does that word confederate mean? Come on. Okay, good. Anyone else? What's a confederacy? Let's continue. There is no unity except as men confederate to accomplish their selfish purpose. the world has not been given into the hands of men, though God is permitting the elements of confusion and disorder to bear sway for a season. So what's happening in this world today is being manipulated. Okay? For a season. A power from beneath is working to bring about the last great scenes in the drama. Turn with me to Revelation. Let's go to Revelation. We're looking at a new life. You must be born again. Revelation 13. Are you there? Revelation 13, look at verse 2. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the what? And the dragon gave him his power. Who's the dragon? Give me a text. Give me a text. Come on, it should be automatic. Exactly. Amen, brother. Thank you. Let's look at it. Revelation 12:9. You're right there. Look it up. And the great dragon was cast out, the old serpent called the devil. So number verse 2 in Revelation 13, it's the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. Look at verse 16. Go with verse 16. Now let's go to 12 first. Verse 12. Revelation chapter 13, verse 12. And he exercises all the power of the first beast before him and cause it. That word cause it means he's forcing the earth, causing the earth to them which dwell therein to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. I don't have time to go into that this morning. Time does not allow me to. But you have an idea where I'm going with this. We're dealing with a power from beneath. What's happening in our world is not man that man can concoct. It's something from beneath. And Ellen White is telling us here, a power from beneath is working to bring about the last great scenes in the drama. I want to read two more statements. So a great crisis awaits the people of God. A crisis awaits the world. The most momentous struggle of all the ages is just before us. In fact, it's happening right in front of your face. My face. In our lives, it's affecting everybody in this world. And the question is this morning, are we ready for the real issue? Now, I wanted to share a couple of things before I go any further. We're dealing with a time now that I think we fully don't understand. And the reason why I'm saying this and the reason why I'm bringing this up is because no one is exempted from what we're going to go through. And we're trying to understand what they're implementing. You see, Ellen White tells us that she says it here, right here. Our nation shall abjure the principles of its government. Is that happening? We know that as Seventh-day Adventists that the culmination of all these things that are happening are headed towards a Sunday law. But prior to the Sunday law, everything is going to be placed in lockstep. Protestantism will, in this act, join hands with popery. We know that. We're seeing it. It will be nothing else than giving life to the tyranny which has been long been eagerly watching its opportunity to spring again into active despotism. And it's happening right in front of our eyes. Now, I prayed about what I was going to share this morning because this is some heavy, heavy things that you're going to have to accept. And what has happened in our world, in our country, in the nation as a whole, is that this system of power is using COVID-19 to catapult this into a system of, she calls it, a vaccine passport. Yeah. I mean, I took notes. I wanted to know more of what I needed to know. And I'm sure many of you and I are looking into this. We're searching it out on YouTube. Praise God for alternative media. Amen? I was at work the other day and we were talking about things that are happening, especially in India, how people are being they're just dropping dead. And they're, you know, looking at it as COVID-19. You know, my brothers and sisters, I had COVID-19 too. I was struck, my whole family was struck with COVID-19. If COVID-19 kills, I should be dead. But it's the end result of what happened when you get COVID-19, how they treat it. You see, my friends, we're dealing with a power from beneath that is working to bring about the last great scenes of this drama. And COVID-19 is what going to catapult it. She says, not Ellen White, but Naomi Wolf, she made a statement saying that we're going to have a central system of data. You see, it's not about the vaccines being poked, the jab. It's not about COVID-19 in itself, but it is about a system of data. This is going beyond in depth. What we're seeing is only the surface. They're only scratching it, and we're only seeing the surface. This is a deep system. And let me explain something. See, in order for you to get the vaccine, you have to register. You cannot just go in there and say, I want a vaccine shot. No. They want your data. Today, you go to any of our churches around here, you have to register. You try to go to the university church. You have to register in order to go to church. Because if you're not registered, if you're not on the list, you're not able to attend church. I was at the water store yesterday, and one of the Filipino members for the Tagalog church at New Jersey, he said, we're going to open up tomorrow. He said, but you got to register. So what they're doing is they're getting data. See, this goes beyond the jab. It goes beyond. It's about data, your information that's being given. So this vaccine passport, which will merge with digital currency. You see, for you to have any hope to buy anything, to go anywhere, you're going to have this digital vaccine passport. It's coming. It's already here. They haven't implemented. I'm supposed to be in Hawaii next month. And they're implementing the vaccine laws, the passport law now, where in order for me to go there, I need to be vaccinated. I don't know if you know Naomi Wolf. She used to be a former Clinton advisor. she quoted here saying that the mandatory vaccine passport could lead to an end of human liberty in the West. So what you're seeing now is just an eradication of our constitutional rights. And you and I just read what Ellen White says, that our nation will what? Abjure every principle that our founding forefathers brought to this nation. She tells us in Prophets and Kings 2:78, we are not to be surprised at this time by events both great and decisive, for the angel of mercy cannot remain much longer to shelter the impenitent. There's a time now, my brothers and sisters, that we need to realize that time is running. Yeah. She also says, Naomi Wolf, vaccine passport uses a platform which, if we should understand, listen, it is not about the virus vaccine. It is not about COVID-19. It is about your data. And just about anything you're doing today will require information about you. Once it is rolled out, and it's being rolled out as I speak to you, you will be part of it, or you will be marginalized. So you anti-vaxxers, guess what's coming for you and me? You will be marginalized. Listen, she says, the vaccine passport has the power to turn off your life or turn on your life. You see, you know what we're hearing in mainstream media and alternative media, you have to really look at it and say, who's telling us the truth? Who's telling us the truth? You know? It will let you engage in society or marginalize you. This is what we're facing this morning. This is a serious time. The Christian life is not a modification or an improvement of the old. We're all dealing with this morning. We can accept it or we can't, or we won't. But we're dealing with a new life this morning. Because our only hope is to have a new life. Amen? This world is going to burn up one day. Go to Revelation 20. Let's look at this. Are you there? Look at verse 4. Revelation 20, verse 4. Revelation chapter 20, verse 4. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus, and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their forehead, or in their hands, and they lived a reign with Christ 1,000 years. John saw this. He saw them being beheaded. It's coming a time when God's people are going to be facing perilous times. We're headed for a crisis. Also, you know that vaccine passport, as I started to look into it, I started to get overwhelmed because I said to myself, whoa, this thing is so broad and so deep that we're only at the first phase of what they're planning. And they tell us what they're going to do. What's his name? Charles Schwab? From the Great Reset? He said, and they're telling us this, that they're designing that jab is to perform transhumanism. Transhumanism. What is that? That means it is rooted in the belief that the human gene can be enhanced. So what they're doing is creating what God had already created, just like before the flood. They were amalgamating man and beast. And you're doing it right now. Boop! In your arm. Bioengineering. Molecular nanotechnology. Artificial intelligence being implemented, implanted in your arm. It's not about the vaccine. It's not about COVID-19. It's about planting. They call it implantable technology. The evolution process. This is deep. So that they can control your mind and how you think and how you worship. This is happening to us. It's called fusion. Physical, digital, biological identity will lead to transhumanism, amalgamation. So it was in the days of Noah. So shall it be the coming of the Son of Man be. What they're trying to do is recreate what God had already established. This is where we're headed. And you know, and Ellen White tells us in First Selected Message in Volume 1, page 204, she says, nothing will be allowed to stand in the way of this new movement. You know, you go on YouTube, you hear people, we need to stand up, we need to rise, we need to protest. But nowhere in my Bible, from page to page, tells me that we need to revolt. You won't find it. But my Bible tells me that I need a new life. I need to be born again. Amen? You see, my friends, this is not about COVID-19. This is about what we need to do to prepare for this time that's coming ahead of us. She tells us in 70 of Maranatha, the Christian life is not a modification or an improvement of the old, but a transformation of nature. Not a transformation of nature through the jab, but a transformation from above. Go with me back to John. Let's go to John. John chapter 3. Look at verse 4. Where Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Here's a learned man, a scholar per se, a theologian, an intellect, telling Jesus, how can a man be born again? He didn't even know the basics. A scholar in Christ's time. And Jesus had to respond. Jesus answered, verily, verily I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. And that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee, you must be born again. So it is an improvement of the old. But it is a transformation of nature, a transformation of character. I don't have time to go into character, but you basically know that character consists of thoughts and feelings. Your thoughts are to be subjected to the will of God, and feelings are to be controlled by reason and religion. There is death to self and sin. Death to self and sin. See, the problem with these people that are concocting these, what word can I use? These bioengineering, these people that are manipulating transhumanism, people that are implementing this implantable technology, these people are being controlled and directed by none other than the power from beneath. They want eternal life without God. They want to inject and say, you're going to live forever. It's the same lie. The same lie that was given in Eden. Your eyes will be opened. You will be protected by the virus. It's the same lie, put in a different package. There is death to self and sin. A new life altogether. This change can be brought about only by the effectual working of the Holy Spirit. When the Spirit of God takes possession of the heart, it transforms the life. You see, my friends, we need to understand that without the transformation of life, the Bible teaches that we cannot see God. Huh? When the Spirit of God takes possession of the heart, it transforms the life. Sinful thoughts are passed away. Evil deeds are renounced. Love, humility, and peace takes the place of anger. Takes the place of anger, envy, and strife. Joy takes the place of sadness, and the countenance reflects the light of heaven. We need a new life this morning. You see, she tells us, page 70, it is impossible for finite minds to comprehend the work of redemption. Impossible. It's impossible to even understand what is going on in our world. The only information we're getting is from the mainstream media or the Word of God. And then you have to balance it out. Amen? To see if it's true. Or there's some people that don't even care. It's impossible for finite minds to comprehend the work of redemption. Its mystery exceeds the human knowledge. Yet, he who passes from death to life realizes that it is a divine reality. The beginning of redemption we may know here through a personal experience. Are you having a personal experience this morning? My friends, this is so important. Pastor Cortez talked about how do we develop this faith? Is your time with God in worship? Your time with God in worship. She says this in The Desire of Ages, page 363, in all who are under the training of God needs a quiet hour of communion with their own hearts, with nature, and with God. In them is to be revealed a life that is not in harmony with the world, its customs, and its practices. We must individually have an experience in obtaining a knowledge of the will of God. Let me say that again. We must have a personal experience in obtaining a knowledge of the will of God. Are you having a personal experience with God? Because this is what's going to be required. You see, all of this is going to pass. It's going to happen. Either you're going to be on one side or the other. But there's hope for us this morning. A new life. A personal experience with God. A personal experience in obtaining a knowledge of the will of God. She says, we must individually hear Him speaking to the heart. Did you hear Him this morning? Did He tell you, wake up? Did He tell you to wake up? Wake up! Or did the alarm wake you up? This is what you call a new life. When you can individually hear Him speaking to the heart, when every other voice is hushed, and in quietness, we wait before Him. The silence of the soul makes more distinct the voice of God. Its results reach through the eternal ages. We're living in a time now where we have to fully surrender to Christ. Nothing will be allowed to stand in the way of this movement. We're not going to be able to stop this. Either you're going to be on one side or the other. For some, God's going to put them to sleep, which I saw this past year. 8 of my friends are already asleep. One just recently, I told you about him already. It made me realize how precious life is today. Life is so precious. We need to seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness. All these things shall be added unto you. We're living in a time where we need to stop sinning. Put sin out of the camp. We're living in the Day of Atonement. A critical time in history of our church, in our world. And as God's people, we know and we understand what our requirement is, what our condition is, what we should be doing in this time of world history. To put sin out of the camp. Very serious time. Talked to my daughter last night about how we fully need to surrender to Christ. You see, in Maranatha 1:60, she says, Ellen White tells us, only those who have been diligent students of the Scripture and who have received the love of the truth will be shielded from the powerful delusion that takes the world captive. This whole world is going to be brought into captivity. You're going to have to stand up. And you know those stories we read in the book of Daniel? It's not a bedtime story anymore. It's reality. It's being played out today. And as I was telling my daughter last night, I said, we have to come to a point in our spiritual experience that we can overcome sin. Can't do it by yourself. It's impossibility. It's impossible. But there's hope for us, amen? Turn with me to Micah. Turn with me to Micah. Are you there? Micah chapter 7. Look at verse 18. Who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity and passeth by transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He retaineth not his anger forever, because he delighteth in mercy. He will turn again. He will have compassion upon us. He will subdue our iniquities, and thou wilt cast all their sins into the depth of the sea. This is the God we serve this morning. That he's willing to pardon iniquity. And you know, I told my daughter last night, I hope she's watching. Iniquity. What is iniquity? You know what iniquity is? Premeditated. You know it's wrong, but you continue to do it. You know it's wrong. Turn with me to Hebrews. Go there quickly. Time is running out for us. Hebrews 26. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 26. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 26 says, "For if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins." That means when Jesus died on the cross, he shed his blood for you and me. But if we willfully sin against God, after you've received the truth, that sacrifice is in vain. But Jesus this morning is calling us today. He says he will pardoneth iniquity. He will pass by transgression and sin. Amen? Go with me to Exodus chapter 34. Exodus chapter 34. Exodus 34, verse 6. "And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful, gracious, long-suffering, and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and upon the children's children and the third and to the fourth generation." He's willing to remove the iniquity, the transgression, and the sin. He's willing to do that. He's doing everything possible for all of us here this morning to be saved. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. God is not in the business of destroying or condemning. He's in the business of saving souls. And the only reason why the world will be lost is because they choose to be lost. So there's no reason for us, anyone here this morning, to be lost. Because if you're lost, it's because you chose to be lost. I just read from these two scriptures that he's willing to pardon iniquity, transgression, and sin. I want life. How about you? My time is up. I just gave you a short synopsis of a new life. You must be born again. And I want to close with this text. Turn with me to Timothy. 2 Timothy. I love this text because it helps me realize that I can't do it by myself. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7. "I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Look at verse 6. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. Paul was headed to the chopping blocks. He knew his life was going to end. But now he could say, I am now ready to be offered. We have to come to a point in our spiritual life by a personal experience that we can say, I am ready now, Lord, to be offered. If you give me death, praise God. If you give me life, praise God. I am now ready. I am now ready to be offered for this sacrifice. Because Jesus paid it all. Amen? I got 1 minute. Maranatha 95. If we have not a deep experience in the things of God, if we have not a thorough knowledge of His Word, we shall be beguiled to our ruin by the errors and sophistries of the enemy. My brothers and sisters, we need this experience today. We need this new life experience. Because what we're seeing in this world is beyond what you and I can ever comprehend. I just shared a little bit. You go study for yourself. If I could get this information, so can you. I'm not a very smart person. But there is so much information out there that I just said, that's enough. I don't need any more information on that. What I need to know is, I need a new life. I must be born again. I need a transformation of character. I need to have a personal experience with Jesus. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. May the Lord bless us today as we continue to study to show thyself approved, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of truth. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for this precious promises of your word. Lord, I pray that as we look into the future, and we know that we are facing a time of trouble, we can have the secure promises of your word. For the Bible says that for God doesn't give us the spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of a sound mind. So, Father, I pray that you will grant us time and compassion and mercy. Give us the wisdom that we need to prepare. Whatever it takes, Father, I pray that you will help us, guide us, and direct us to where we need to be, what we need to be doing. Looking unto Jesus, our author and finisher of our faith. Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Create in us a clean heart. Renew a right spirit within us. Keep us faithful, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray.